Welcome to Whiskey Wednesdays, where we drink the finest whiskeys and we argue about the internet's most important topics.
Because there's nothing that the internet loves more than arguing and telling people that they're wrong.
Listen, and with each topic here, we may not agree with what side we're taking, but dang it, we're gonna die on this hill.
So grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy. If you are listening on a podcast today, thank you so much for checking in with us. We would absolutely love if you would hit the subscribe or the check or whatever it is on the platform that you're listening to. Hit that so that you can subscribe to us. It would really mean a lot to us. The only way that we get found on podcasts is we're going to get bumped up if you leave us a review and if you subscribe and also if you share. So please share this podcast with people and hope that you really enjoy today's episode. Yeah, make sure that you leave us some comments below.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Everybody tell Dusty how stupid he looks.
I don't look stupid. Look how great this shirt is. It's a Neomag shirt.
Oh, no, your shirt looks great.
Yeah.
You just look, your face.
You're not very nice.
It's your face that looks
stupid. I hope that you know that. You're not very nice. And I'm not even going to give you the time of day.
The truth hurts.
Truth does not hurt.
Truth hurts.
Okay.
Are you hurt?
No, I'm not. Pour me some whiskey.
All right, today we're going to be pouring into our Last Cut Crystal glasses.
Again, yeah.
Not sponsored, I just really like these glasses.
These are pretty sweet glasses.
We're going to pour into these glasses some Jeffersons. You can see I'm already...
It still smells like whiskey.
Almost halfway through this bottle.
I think I've had this before.
This is a nice one. We actually picked this up when we went out to Jared's...
Birthday?
Birthday party.
Was this supposed to be for Jared?
Yeah, Jared. And then we- Jared, this might have been, it was supposed to be for you.
This was supposed to be for your birthday, bud.
But then I was like,
this is really good.
I think I want it. So yeah. Thank you, Jared.
For letting us drink this whiskey that we bought you.
Thank you for this. So this is Jefferson's. I'm going to let you pour it while I tell you a little bit about it. This is the blend of four different whiskeys. They take four different whiskeys, blend them together to get the flavor profile that they have. Unlike last week's 113 proof, today we're at 82 proof. So this is a much more sippable.
That's gonna be like water.
Drink. Yeah, this one's gonna go down pretty easy. Jefferson's is, unlike Buffalo Trace, some of these other companies, they were established in 1997. So,
1997.
Again, it was a little way to go, but not the like, you know, 1900s. Like
no.
Like a lot of these other companies.
Fairly new company.
Troy. So Trey Zeller and father Chet Zeller started this company. Chet is actually a famed bourbon historian. And I meant to look into that more and kind of give you guys some things to look into.
He knows his history.
But apparently he's a famed bourbon historian. Kind of a fun fact, Trey's eighth generation grandmother was arrested in 1799 for production and sale of spirituous liquors.
Yeah.
I like her.
I like her too.
Way to go.
Rebel.
Grandma.
People were strong and
so
independent.
Making bourbons and spirits goes a long way back in their family. So,
yeah.
You know, for them to start this journey together, it made a lot of sense. One of the things that a lot of people are going to know Jefferson's by is they've probably seen the Jefferson's Oceans edition. One thing that Jefferson's does that's pretty cool is they're very experimental.
Okay.
With the bourbons.
What do you mean by that?
It's what they do with the Oceans version, which again I don't have here, but as an example is they put a bunch of barrels on a ship that sails. that goes all over. And if you go to the website, I think they have a map of where it goes. It's out at sea.
That's brilliant.
For a really long time, and that's how they age that bourbon is on a ship. So it's like the Ocean's Edition. So it's
you
things
get,
like that.
You get the vibration from sailing.
I mean,
because vibration
it's complete
helps,
opposite
right?
of it's complete opposite of how a Kentucky or Tennessee bourbon or whiskey is aged. It sits still in a barrel in a
right.
warehouse.
Yeah.
Instead, and then the fluctuations in temperature is also what gives bourbon whiskey its flavor profile. Put on a ship, I don't know what seasons it's going through out there,
yeah.
but at the very least, it's getting sloshed around.
All the time.
All the time.
Nonstop. It is the ocean.
Yeah. So it's getting sloshed around nonstop. I've actually not had it, but That's just an example of what they do. They actually...
That's cool.
I'm trying to find one of these. I think I might have a lead on this. I saw on their website, they have, it's like 6 or 8 little bottles of whiskey. Each one was originally aged in an oak barrel, like all whiskey needs to be.
Okay.
But then each one is aged again with like wood, with some just has wood chunks of oak,
okay.
of yeah. charred oak in it. Some have, I'm just throwing stuff out there, like cherry
oh,
wood in it.
Got it, trying to get that extra little notes
other,
in it.
Other
That's cool.
woods and things like that go into these other barrels, and they're trying to see what other flavor can we get out of doing these other things. So
here's my question for you on that. Do they remove all the stuff from the barrel, put it in a new barrel, or do they just pop open the bunghole and shove the woods down the bunghole?
You just want to say bunghole.
I did.
That's all you wanted to do.
I'm sorry, everybody.
All right. So, which is a great word.
It's a great word.
It's what it is.
It makes me laugh every time.
It's like to my kids when they learn a new term for body part. We're like, well, that's what it is. So, anyway.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, everyone.
So, that's kind of what Jefferson's is known for is trying new things and trying to see what, just trying to see what new things they can get. I looked hard to figure out why it's called Jefferson's.
Okay.
I can't figure out why it's called Jefferson's. If you look on the back of the bottle, it has Jefferson on the back of the bottle.
It's like Thomas Jefferson to me.
I don't really know why it's called that. I couldn't, even their website doesn't say anything about how it was named or why it was named that.
Where was Thomas Jefferson from? Maybe he was from Louisville, Kentucky.
He wasn't.
Okay.
Pretty
then
sure
I'm
about
wrong.
That. Yeah, so there you go. This is try to.
Oh yeah, we should drink this.
Very corny.
I'm trying to smell it.
It's very, very. I can smell a lot of corn. It smells like a cup.
You full smell
of,
corn?
It smells like a cup full of corn. Yep.
I kind of smell maybe a little corn. Ooh. This one's almost sweet.
It's very, yeah. It's very oaky.
Mm-hmm.
Very corn. I can taste the corn and the oak. It's not a super complex.
Nah, this is a basic one. I like it, though.
But again, it's only 82 proof, so it's not going to have a ton of...
Yeah. And last week you said I rated the whiskey a little lower because it's a high proof. I think this one rates higher. But I really don't know if it's the proof. Maybe it is. Maybe I was just wrong. But
see, I like that the new riff from last week, I think I actually like more. There's more flavor to it. There's more complexity to it than this.
I'd be more willing to mix this just because I think that it has such lax. Like, it's not a very complex flavor.
No.
I think it's a very simple.
Yeah, it tastes like a ton of corn. And I don't know that I've.
It's weird.
Again, I'm halfway through this bottle. I don't know that's come through to me as much as it is right now.
When you're halfway through a bottle, well, when you open it, they call it a neck pour. When you're halfway through the bottle, what do they call that?
You're half drunk?
Just a normal pour. I was just curious if they had fancy names for that as well.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I haven't had this. I just got the bottle in the summer. Some people will say that you shouldn't have a bottle that's been open for too long because flavors will change. Now, yes, flavors will change a little bit, but they don't really go bad or anything like that for a very long time. So as the bottle's gone down, the flavors maybe change a little bit, but.
So what rating do you give this?
It's good. I think when this bottle's done, I don't know that I'll grab another one.
Okay.
I've had it before. It
was, how much is this roughly? 50? 30?
No, I want to say 30.
In the 30s?
35, something like that. That's like MSRP.
Yeah.
So, if you're looking for something kind of mid-low cost, but it's good, then it's a good.
The more I think about this, I think this is a, with 5 being like middle of the road whiskey, I think this is a 6.5 for me.
Yeah.
So, okay. I like it.
I agree with you there.
It's not like mind-blowingly good, but I like it.
It's good. It's different.
Yeah.
I don't know that anything else.
Well, and its price is reasonable.
It is. Yeah.
For the price, I think it's got good value to flavor.
I taste a ton of corn.
Corn? Of corn? I like corn. Are we gonna?
I don't have a tie-in for this one.
for you. Unless you want to come up with one on the spot, maybe.
Jefferson.
He's not even holding a gun.
No, I wish he was. I was looking for that.
So it might be concealed.
Ah.
So, yeah, I don't really have a tie-in for you. We're working on it. But today we're going to be talking about if you should. We're talking about off-body carry, and we're also kind of saying close proximity carry.
Yeah. We should define that a little better.
Which isn't carry. If it's close, if it's not on you, you're not carrying it. All right, yeah, let's kind of try to define this for people. So off-body carry is if you have a purse or a backpack. I can't think of anything else to really where it would be on
fanny
you.
Pack.
But yeah, fanny pack.
Yeah.
That's not a popular
duct
one.
Taped in somewhere. I don't know. That would be on-body, I guess. Yeah.
So backpack guns are very popular right now for women.
Yeah.
Purse carry is very popular.
Yeah,
so then when we were kind of prepping for this, we started talking about, well, what if it's in the glove box of your car?
Right.
What if it's under your desk? That's not off-body carry because you're not carrying, but that's close proximity carry.
Yeah.
So we kind of wanted to open, kind of expand this a little bit, just for conversation's sake, to that as well. But we're mostly going to start off mostly talking about.
So really, this is on body versus within arm's reach carry, right?
Well, they call it off body when it's in a bag or something like that. On body is when it's in a holster,
right.
Attached to you. This is
should you carry on body?
It's in something that's hanging off of you.
You get it, right?
Yeah, I think
hopefully.
People get it.
I think so.
I think people get it.
Yeah.
All right, I went first last time.
I'll go first.
Tell us why. So, Dusty, you're going to be arguing.
I'm arguing
for
that it is a perfectly reasonable way of carrying, to carry stuff in a purse or a glove box or something like that. I think that is a reasonable way to carry a firearm. And so I'm going to make a small argument for that because I really think... this is a choice that you have to make yourself. But I have made this choice in the past, and I certainly keep my gun in my glove box, and there's reasons for and not to, but we are going to get into that right now. So I think off-body carry, and I'm just going to refer to it off-body carry, is appropriate for certain situations. So I don't think that a hard never should you carry off body rule should be in effect. So there are everywhere you go, there's a certain level of risk tolerance, you know, that is there. There's a risk factor. Going to Walmart is certainly more dangerous than sitting in your living room or maybe going into your work. Or maybe going into work is more dangerous than going to your grocery store. And I think as a concealed carrier, you evaluate these risks profiles, and you make adjustments to your carry, possibly, as you need to. And I prefer to be very comfortable in my life, and I try to adjust my carry to fit that. So one of my first points to off-body carry is that it is so long as you're aware of your surroundings, it still maintains a level of safety while being more comfortable. And so I think this, you know, taking your gun off of you entirely is far more comfortable, no matter what you're carrying with or how you're carrying it, than having a gun on. So I think that it allows you to be more comfortable so long as you're still aware of your surroundings. I also think there's a ton of options available for off-body carry. And one of these options is going to work for you when you decide that it's time. Yeah, I think Vertex makes some bags. I know there's a couple companies that make bags that are specifically designed to store a gun in it and quickly access it when you're out in public. I know there's some fanny packs, which apparently are coming back now, so that's good news. Some fanny packs that have, you know, slots for holsters to be mounted inside of them. I know we're making a thing here very soon that will work with the Alias to go in a backpack. And if I'm not supposed to say that, just blur me out.
You're good.
Okay. Another big point that I think is off-body carry, it's not risky. People, you know, many times people will bring up the point that, you know, it's easier to have your gun stolen. And I'm sure that there are higher risks. I think you have some numbers on this. But still, the numbers are pretty low. And once again, I think with off-body carry, you just have to be aware of your surroundings. I think it as a hard and fast rule, it's, you know, it's not wrong to carry off-body.
So I think what you're trying to say is it gives you a facade of safety.
No.
By thinking that you have a gun nearby for protection, but really what you have is a paperweight 50 feet away, or...
That is a no way trip.
Or something that is inside of a pocket that you have to unzip and then get to another pocket to hopefully get past all the other stuff that's in the way to get your gun.
That is not at all what I'm
so,
saying. There, no, there's I different think, levels
think,
of risk.
I think off-body carry...
There's different threat levels.
Just gives you a facade. So here's... I really just have a couple reasons, because to me this is such an absurd conversation to even begin to have of off-body carry and close proximity carry. Because it completely defeats the purpose of having a gun.
No, it doesn't.
The two biggest things is, one, if I'm carrying a firearm for safety, it means that I might need it. And if I need it, I don't need it. There's a chance I need it now, not in 10 seconds.
Okay. Do you sleep with the gun on your body?
Or in 30 seconds. It means I need a gun now. It means I agree with you that you need to be aware of your surroundings. But let's be honest here. You cannot be code red, fully 360.
Nope.
In touch with the surroundings at all times.
Right.
Right? Which is why...
We both agree on there.
My next thing is, it is much more likely for your gun to get stolen if it's off-body than if it's on-body. If it's off-body, purses get snatched all the time. Bags get left or snatched all the time. That doesn't happen when it's securely clipped in a holster, clipped to your belt.
Absolutely does not.
An alias.
Right.
And secured to your... When it's secured to your body, concealed, the chances of it getting stolen or anything are way, way, way small. The only way somebody's stealing a concealed gun is if, like, you get in a fight and somebody finds it on you and they
try
to steal it. Yeah, and
they're bad at fighting.
So, off-body is great if you want to feel like you're safer without actually being safer.
That is totally not true. Are you done with your points yet?
Yeah, there's no other...
All right.
I just won.
No, you just made my point. So, you just said there's no way that you can live in code red all the time, or right. Whatever it's called. There's red, yellow, whatever, red, orange, yellow. So, if you're not in code red all the time, and there's not like an active threat, like you're not searching and assessing for threats, then you know the area is a safer location, right? You're at your house. You're at your place of work. You're, I don't know, in your buddy's house. Or maybe you just know that it's a pretty safe location, right? There's ways of identifying areas of threat. If you're going through the hood of your urban city, I guarantee you, you're going to be much higher in terms of vigilance and paying attention to what's going on around you than you will be when you and your buddy are sitting watching the Super Bowl on his couch, right? So I think in the same way that you adapt how aware of your surroundings you are, that it is reasonably okay to adapt how close in proximity you are to your gun. When you're going through the hood, you keep your gun on you. We all know this because the chances of having to use your gun to defend your life are higher, but also the timing in which you will need your gun is higher. You're in one-on-one, you know, you're next to people very close. You're in contact with people. However, when you're at your house, you don't sleep with a gun on you. Why? Because you've made arrangements to give yourself time to react. In the same way, when you're at your work, you typically have some warning indicator that something is going on. So if you're sitting at your desk,
You would hope,
right? Someone's going to yell if they get shot. Or if a guy walks in mad because you fired him last week and he's pissed off, there's some commotion that's going to say, hey, maybe I should up my awareness.
Unless you are the first person to be engaged with and there's no lead up to it. Somebody busts into my office yelling and making threats, I would, and I hope you would agree, I would much rather have the gun
on me than in a bag that's underneath my desk.
Absolutely.
Right?
But if they bust into your office, I, being further away from the door and having created space away from myself and the known threat, can be like,
there's a reason why we're in separate offices.
Someone's yelling.
I am guaranteed somebody's going to come in storming after you before somebody comes storming.
And I'll hear you go, hey, who are you? And then I'll be like, that was weird. Grab my gun. And when the guy comes around the corner.
And when they say I'm going for Dusty, you'd be like, okay.
And be like, hey, Alexa, drop into Dusty's office. Hey, bud, someone's coming to shoot you.
Good luck.
Okay.
Alexa, drop out.
So I think that is my main point off body carry is utilized in a way. You can't just assume off body carry is for every situation, right? But I think that it is for some situations.
I think there are far too many people out there, and I'm going to an extreme here, that only throw a gun in their purse or in their bag and that's it. Because, like you said earlier.
And that would be wrong as well.
Because, like you said earlier, you want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And yes, carrying a gun, I'm going to typically use a quote here, isn't comfortable, it's comforting. Right? So.
That's a quote?
Yeah. You ever heard that one?
No.
So, if I'm carrying a gun, again, I think you're getting a little off topic there, talking about, like, in your house and stuff like that. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about carry. I am making a decision to bring a gun with me.
To work.
To a place.
Yeah.
Whatever location it is, so that I can defend myself. If I'm going to do that, I want to be able to do that to the best of my ability. And
maybe
having, so do you ever think, I'm going to carry today, but I'm not going to do this to the best of my ability? Is that what you think?
If you've decided that, so you are always calculating chance and risk in your head, or you should be, right? So like, if you're going to carry somewhere, maybe you just like to have the gun with you. Right? One, because you always have it with you, so it's something that you bring with you if you feel naked otherwise. Or two, you know there's a small chance, but it's not near as high of a chance as, say, when you are going to Walmart, right? And so I think off-body carry is accessible in locations that you feel moderately comfortable in. Work is one of those places. You're still carrying. You still carry when you go to your friend's house, right? Like, it's still everyday carrying, it's still a part of your life and your routine, but maybe when you go to your friend's house to watch a Super Bowl, you don't want to have a gun in your pants the entire time because you're planning on filling up on nachos, so you put it in a bag. And now, if some guy is angry at your friend and starts banging on the door, you've got a firearm available. I think that that's a perfectly good location to off-body carry.
I think you have to think very carefully about, if I'm going to my friend's house, if I'm going to the gym, if I'm going, there are places I'm going to go that having a gun on me, like going to the gym, isn't realistic. So having a gun that I know that I can access quicker than going to my car or going home or whatever, I get the thought process of wanting to be able to do that. But you have to think really hard about, If we're going to think odds and everything here, what are the odds that my bag at the gym next to the, like in your example, next to the door of my friend's house, wherever, what are the odds that that's going to get stolen over needing it?
If we're talking odds, it's always higher that someone's going to steal something from you than try and kill you.
Right. So with that thought process.
So then do you just not bring it?
I would side on being responsible. Either it's on you and you're going to be in full control of that of a deadly weapon.
Okay.
Or I'm not going to bring it at all because it is much more likely it's going to get stolen or I'm going to misplace it or whatever than need it.
I don't think that off your body means out of your control.
It absolutely does. I'm not in control of something that's on the other side of the room from me.
That wouldn't be within our definition of off-body control.
Well, no, I'm just going with the example you're talking about, going to your friend's house and have it in a bag.
Put your bag right next to you while you sit on the couch. That's perfectly reasonable. I've done this. I've carried at weddings off-body before.
You're that guy when you're like going to get another plate of nachos. You pick up your bag and you kind of stuff it under your arm while you load up another plate of nachos and then you bring it back and
sling
your bag
backpack
down,
on maybe.
And you like squeeze back down into the couch between two people and you got your bag. Like that's not obvious at all.
No, but you could keep it within a light of sight and that's perfectly reasonable.
I don't think. One, I just don't think that example is reasonable. Like, if
you've never brought your gun to a friend's house,
it's either on me.
Okay.
Or maybe. And I actually don't. I try not even do this. Maybe if I'm coming from somewhere else and I have my gun on me, I may lock it up twice in my car.
So I must be more trusting than you. Because if I go to a friend's house and I don't want to carry it on me, I don't just put it in my bag. Sometimes I'll just take it off and put it, like, on their table.
There are literally thousands of guns, and I do have some numbers here, that are stolen every year.
Let's hear these numbers.
Total guns. I'm going through all the firearm types here. I can maybe take out a couple of these. This would equate for taking out a couple hundred out of over. I'm going to round it down.
I'm capable of putting this list on the screen
for
people.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on the screen. Yeah. I'm going to round it down to 6,000 firearms are stolen by loss or theft.
Okay, is that in the country?
That's in the country in the year 2021.
Wow.
So last year.
Over 400 million guns. And there's only 6,000 of them stolen?
6,000 are stolen. Do you want that to be one of yours?
That's tiny.
Do you want that to be one of yours?
I mean, you've got better chances of dying of COVID from that.
Well, I mean, COVID's just wiping everybody. I mean, I'm surprised we're still alive.
I'm surprised we're still alive.
We're not wearing masks.
It's okay, we're not.
All right, anyway. I get in the amount of guns that are out there, but you can't stay out of that many guns. How many guns? There's a much smaller number of guns that are being carried, they don't show me here theft versus loss. They don't tell me carried versus locked up in their house. I don't know those numbers. So all it says is, it does say FFL theft. So some of these numbers are being stolen out of gun shops.
Sure.
But there are, but this counts robbery.
So 6,000, that's what it is, right?
Right.
So let's just say that's out of the state of Ohio. And let's just say it's out of 1 million people who can still carry, which is reasonable for the state of Ohio. Those are still astronomically small chances of something happen. Like, that's...
Yet it's smaller still that you're going to need it.
Sure, absolutely.
In some of those places. So, odds are much higher that it's going to get lost. You just helped me prove this point.
So to be clear, it's smaller that you'll need the gun. The chances are smaller that you'll need the gun. So you still bring the gun with you, even though the chances are smaller. And you just keep it on your body.
Keep it on my body for as long as... Because now I've eliminated it getting lost or stolen. That's when it's in my holster on my body, I've now eliminated the option of it being lost or stolen.
Why not just leave it at home? If the chances are so small that you'll need it, like that, because
we're going back to, you start out by saying we're talking about low. And I agree with you when you said this, that you are thinking about places when you aren't on code red,
right?
You're in yellow or something like that. Yeah. Everywhere, you're like, okay, I want to have it with me. But I don't feel like I'm an immediate threat, so...
Sure.
Right? So so in these scenarios where you're code yellow, you're at your buddy's house...
Okay, or the gym might be a good place.
Right? Yeah. It's not super high level of threat. But I think this is a great discussion.
I didn't realize we actually disagreed about this.
And one for people to think, well, I'm dying on this hill. We talked about this before.
Okay, yes, but you're actually doing a great job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. So... If we are saying we are code yellow here, because, like, I think we both agree, we're code red, there is, like, I am in downtown Baghdad. I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in that
handgun
case.
Handgun is not enough.
In that case, I'm walking around with hand grenades in both hands.
But, body armor, belt-fed machine gun, tank.
If I'm gas station at 12:30 in the morning.
Yes. Good example.
On body.
Oh, yeah.
Not in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Not in my bag.
No.
On body.
Not in your hand.
But we are talking... On body. If we're going to talk about off-body, close proximity carry, I think we're making an assumption that we are, like, yellow to green...
Big time.
...color...
Yeah.
...awareness, right?
Well, and I think... Yeah. Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. Like, we're yellow green, we should never be green, as Pat Mac would say.
I'm green a lot, actually, frankly.
So, if we're in that area where off body is a consideration, I think we all need to do due diligence and think seriously about, if I'm in a place where it's code yellow, code green, is it more likely it's going to get lost or stolen over needing it?
Yeah.
And I think you guys should tell us, how do you feel about this? If you are in that situation, do you feel like off-body, close proximity, which we didn't really get too much into close proximity, but we've probably gone a
little
bit
longer. Assume it's in a glove box, underneath a table.
It is within reach.
An alias.
It's within reach. It's under a desk.
Yeah.
You can lean and get to it.
Yeah.
So it's not on body, it's not in a bag, but it is clipped safely somewhere near to you. If you guys, just let us know what you guys think about that. Is that something that you are comfortable doing? Is it something that maybe after this discussion, you are thinking twice about? If we're gonna play odds,
I would like to hear. I think people will have things to say about this.
Yeah. So let us know below. Make sure that you guys hit subscribe. Please leave us a comment and let us know what you think. And please share this with somebody else who maybe is new to carry and maybe sides with off-body. Maybe it'll get them thinking about it. I think it's something that everybody who carries defensively should have these thoughts.
And also, I want to tell people on our YouTube here, if you've got a long commute and you like to listen to podcasts, we also put this up as a podcast. If that's your preferred method of listening or viewing, please go ahead and check it out. What's our podcast?
So we are on Spotify, Amazon, and Apple.
Yep.
And search Neomag Whiskey Wednesday. There's actually a bunch of Whiskey Wednesday podcasts out
there. That's interesting. I didn't
know. So search Neomag Whiskey Wednesday, and you'll find us. Share it.
Like it.
Like it. Comment.
Please let us know. I really genuinely want to hear from you guys, because I know how I feel, and apparently I didn't know how Greg felt. And then, he's just good at this, so.
I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I'm so good.
That was weird, man.
Okay.
Ooh, what we got here?
I have a few options I'm gonna throw out here.
All right, I'm ready.
For next week's.
Yes, what we got going on?
Grape versus strawberry jelly.
What?
I've gotten fights with my wife over this.
All right,
She's a grape, I'm a strawberry.
No.
The fact that we're still married
first
is actually.
First of all, we all know it's peach. And
all right.
That different topic, okay. That's not gonna work for us. No one cares about
all right,
that.
Next idea. Thong versus bikini.
I mean, my wife looks good in any. So
I'm not talking. I'm talking about for men.
What?
No. Okay. How about concealed carry license? Should they exist? Should we?
Yeah.
Go through licensing.
See, that's more reasonable. That's a way more reasonable topic. Yes, what? I can argue this.
What, than jelly and underwear?
Yes. Jelly and underwear, really?
Together.
Gosh.
I mean,
peach might be the best one. So yeah. All right. So next week.
I'm all about the eggplant jelly.
I can't handle this.
It was rolling last time.
No. Oh, okay.
It shut off.
Should we?
Now it's rolling.
Should we do this one like WWF announcers?
No.
Welcome to Whiskey Wednesday! No. Oh. Okay, fine. Guess not.